भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 1 to 6. But also I'll read the introductory part, chapter summary rather. This chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna, after inducing the cowherd boys to beg for food, showed mercy to the wives of some brahmanas, performing a sacrifice, and made the brahmanas themselves feel remorse. When the cowherd boys became very hungry, they asked Sri Krishna about obtaining food, and he sent them to beg some from a group of brahmanas who were performing a sacrifice nearby. But these brahmanas ignored the boys, thinking Sri Krishna an ordinary human being. The boys returned disappointed, but the Lord sent them off again, advising them to ask the brahmanas' wives for the food. These ladies had heard of Krishna's transcendental qualities and were very much attached to him. Thus, as soon as they learned he was nearby, they went to him in great haste, bringing all four varieties of food. In this way, they offered themselves to Sri Krishna. Krishna told the women that while one can develop transcendental love for him by seeing his deity form in the temple, meditating upon him and chanting his glories, one cannot achieve this result simply by being in his physical presence. He advised them that since they were housewives, their particular duty was to help their husbands perform sacrifices. He therefore instructed them to return to their homes. When the ladies went back home, their brahmana husbands at once felt remorse, and they lamented. For anyone inimical to Krishna, his three births, seminal, brahminical, and sacrificial, are all condemned. On the other hand, these women folk, who have not undergone the purificatory processes of the brahminical class, or performed any austerity or pious rituals, have true devotion for Krishna, easily cut off the bondage of death. Since Lord Krishna's every desire is completely fulfilled, his begging for food was simply an act of mercy toward us Brahmanas. All the fruits of Vedic sacrifice, and indeed all things on earth, are his opulences. Yet, out of ignorance, we could not appreciate this fact. Having spoken thus, all the Brahmanas offer their obeisance to Lord Sri Krishna, hoping to counteract their offenses. Nonetheless, out of fear of King Kamsa, they did not go to see the Lord in person. And then we'll read text 1, and I'll do the other text. Text 1. Sri Gopauchu, Rama Rama Mahabahu, Krishna Dusta Nibarhana, Isha Vai Bharate Kashunas, Tachchantim Kartum Arhata, Sri Gopauchu, Rama Rama Mahabahu, Krishna Dusta Nirbarhana, Isha Vai Bharate Shunas, Tach Chantim Kartum Arhata, Sri Gopauchu, Rama Rama Mahabahu, Krishna Dusta Nirbarhana. Esha Vai Bharate Shunas. Tachchantim Kartumarhata. Translation. The cowherd boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty and one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you shall do something about it. Purport. The cowherd boy jokingly implied that since Sri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things, the Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate love and friendship they enjoyed with the Supreme Personality of God. Text 2. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Okay, we can read together. Iti Vigna Pito Gopai. Bhagavan Devaki Sutta Bhaktaya Vipra Bharyaya Prasidanidama Brihit. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the cowherd boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, replied as follows, desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmana's wives. Text 3. Prayata deva yajanam brahmana brahma vadina satra mangira samama kramyaya. Translation. Lord Sri Krishna said, please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of brahmanas learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the angira rasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. Text 4. Tatra gatvaudhanam gopa yacha tasmad visharjita kirtayanta bhagavata aryasya namacha vidam. Translation. When you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us. Purport. Lord Krishna, encouraged by his boyfriends to request charity without being embarrassed, in case the boys felt they had no right to personally approach such respectable brahmanas, The Lord told them to mention the names of Balaram and Krishna, the holy names of God. Text 5. Iti yadishta bhagavata gatva yachanta te tata kritanjali putta dandava patita bhuvi. Translation. Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the brahmanas with palms joined in supplication and then fell flat on the ground to offer respect. Text 6. Hey Bhumi Devasmita Krishnasya Deshakarina Praptanjanita Badramvo Opano Ramachoditan. Translation. The cowherd boy said, O earthly gods, please hear us. We cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. Purport. The term Bhumi Deva, gods on earth, refers here to the brahmanas, who are supposed to closely represent the will of the Supreme Lord. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not a primitive polytheistic doctrine holding that human beings and earth are gods. Rather, it is a science that traces the descent of authority from the absolute truth himself, Sri Krishna. The authority and power of God naturally extend along with the extension of his creation, and on the earth, the Lord's will and authority are represented by purified enlightened men called brahmanas. This account will illustrate that the ritualistic brahmanas approached by the cowherd boys were not at all properly enlightened and thus could not appreciate the position of Krishna and Balaram or that of their intimate associates. In fact, this pastime exposes the pretentious position of so-called brahmanas who are not faithful devotees of the Supreme Lord. Om Gyana Tirmanisya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksham Tamina Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivinanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvishisha Shunyavadi Parshchata Deshatani Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Sashupadaskar Swami Namini Sashupavina Vande Vindan Shavishnam Bhakti Granthana Naipani and Bhakti Vinanta Sikshitam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Gadadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Friday had promised to relate the birth of Maricha, but maybe at the end of the class, if there's some time, I'll probably do that. But I'd like to explain briefly the chapter summary and then go to the verses. This is a very interesting chapter because it shows sometimes the folly of these ritualistic brahmanas. Lord Krishna and his cowherd friends, they were in the forest, and he really wanted to bless the wives of the brahmanas because he knew that they were very attracted to him and want to serve him. But at the same time, he also wanted to expose the ignorance of the brahmanas, so to speak. So he sent these boys to beg for food, and in his name and Balaram's name. In fact, he said Balaram's name first, and then his name. Maybe Balaram a little more respectable than him, so to speak. Or they might think that way. And so So when he sent the boys, the Brahmanas totally ignored them. See, they were indifferent. Later on in the chapter, we'll see that they ignored the boys. And the boys went back to Krishna, and then he sent them to their wives. And the wives immediately, they didn't say here if they actually prepared, but they had palatable dishes of four varieties. Those that are, what? Lip, suck, chewed, and swallowed. Yeah, those are the four. And so they immediately took the food to Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. And they relished it. The Brahmanas would eventually come to their senses. It does not within the summary states this, but it seems like miraculously they got some realization, some great realization that that this is the Supreme Lord and we have ignored him. See? We have ignored him and we've created a great offense. And so we should atone for it or beg forgiveness. So this would be briefly. Wondering if there's any other interesting point that went through there. Okay, but an interesting point was that they also stated that these women, they did not go through the purificatory rite of the Brahmanas. They did not go through austerities. They did not go through the Brahmachari ashram. See? But yet they were so much more realized than us. See? And they satisfy the Lord, which is the ultimate goal of life. See? The goal of life is to serve and please the Supreme Personality of God. So we'll go to the text now. And the first text where the boys are requesting that they are hungry and they need some food. And then Krishna says that there is some Brahmana performing the Angira Rasa Jagya. Angira Rasa, Angira Muni, he's one of the Shapta Rishis. And I guess there's a special Jagya in his name that they can perform to go to the heavenly planets. Usually it's stated that the Brahmanas usually go to Brahmalok. I don't know if Brahmalok here is implied as heavenly planet. It could possibly be, but it specifically says the heavenly planets. And then up, and so they went and they would address the demigods, the Brahmanas. They said, "O earthly gods, please hear us. We coward boys are executing the orders of Krishna. And we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival." So address the Brahmanas as earthly gods. So we'll deal with this thing. Within the purport, they explain that because the Brahmana is in an exalted position, they're called earthly gods. And they also explain there that one should not think that this philosophy is polytheistic, whereby we believe in many, many gods and so forth. But then they explain that because the position of the Brahmana is topmost, they are imbibed with the authority of the Supreme Lord, and thus they are called earthly gods. Even though it's rather ironic or that these Brahmanas should have known better, they acted in such despicable ways. But I would take the opportunity to explain a little bit about the Brahminical culture. Because since this verse is mostly about the Brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada in his writings, most of the time it emphasized the importance of Brahminical culture and cow protection. He would always emphasize this, and he wants to propagate this. Because by developing Brahminical culture, society could be in a state of equilibrium. The Brahminical culture is the topmost culture in society, or the Brahmanas are the top within the Varnashram system. And a society with Brahminical culture is said to be a headless society, a society in death equilibrium, just like we're even seeing today. See, everything is topsy-turvy. We don't know what is duty and what is not duty. See? And so the Brahminical culture is very, very much important. And Srila Prabhupada really in some way wants to re-establish the Varnashram system. See? And so so I'll talk a little bit about the Brahmanas here. It's stated of all sentient beings, those that are animated are considered topmost. And of those, the human beings are considered topmost. Or those that subsist by their intelligence, see, are topmost. And of those, the human beings are considered topmost. And of the human beings, the Brahmanas are considered topmost. And of the Brahmanas, those that follow the rules and regulations and study the scriptures scrutinizingly, they are considered topmost. Out of these, the one that knows the goal of life, or who knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Sovereign, are considered the most exalted. See? While we're discussing here also, we can also take in mind that the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, was more or less absent from society. You know, because when Lord Krishna explained to Arjuna that I have come to reestablish this knowledge because it has been lost 2 times. See? The last time he had explained that I had Imam Vivashvan Yogam. He says, I had explained this transcendental knowledge to the sun god Vivashvan, Imam Vivashvate Yogam, Proktavanaham Avyayam. I instructed the impersonal science of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan, who instructed it to Manu and who instructed it to Ikshvaku. So the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita at this time was lost. Lord Krishna had not spoken Bhagavad Gita as yet. And the last time it was spoken was when Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. And if we know, Ikshvaku is an ancestor of Lord Ramachandra. And that was in the Treta Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada calculated Treta Yuga, say 800,000 years, a little more. And then, no, sorry, Treta Yuga is 1,296,000 years. And Dwarpa Yuga is 864,000 years. So that is almost or over 2 million years Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So the knowledge was actually lost to a great extent. See? So these Brahmanas, and then we have to take in mind too that the Yoga Dharma for each age is different. Satyuga is meditation. Dwarpa Yoga is sacrifices. Treta Yoga is sacrifices. Dwarpa Yoga is deity worship. And then Kali Yuga is chanting. But this is at the end of Dwarpa Yoga. And so these Brahmanas, they were engaged in these sacrifices and so on. So, I mean, we cannot really justify their despicable behavior. See? But at least we can see how far was the how long ago Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So this knowledge about the Lord was somewhat absent in society. See? So coming back to the knowledge of to the Brahminical knowledge, it's stated that the Brahmanas are considered the topmost in society. And their duty is to study the Vedic literatures and teach the Vedic literatures. They are to perform sacrifices for themselves and perform sacrifices for others. And they are to accept charities and give charities. These are the six duties of the Brahmanas. And of those, they subsist by teaching for our remuneration, by accepting charity, and by performing sacrifices for our remuneration. So these are the ways that they are able to maintain themselves. And in times of hardship, then they can take, or they may take, the duty of the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas. And we know of some cases like Dronacharya, for example, and Kripacharya. See, those two. Dronacharya, he was in a very unstable economic situation, whereby he could not even buy milk for Ashwatthama. See, so then he went to the Pandavas and he trained him in military art. So he took up the profession of a Kshatriya. And Kripacharya was also doing the same thing. See? So in times of hardship, they could do that. And even in time of more hardship, where they're actually starving, then they can even accept food from those that are chandalas. It's stated that Vishwamitra accept the meat of a dog from a chandala. Bharadwaj and I think Gautama Rishi, they also accepted like meat from the lowest classes of men to survive because they were serious drought. I mean, there's a long story within the Mahabharata of those things. But in really hardship, if they're going to die, then they could do that. But really, they're supposed to stick to their dharma at all costs. And also it's stated, even they take up the role of a Vaishya, they should not do agriculture because it's stated by tilling the soil, they kill a lot of living entities. And so they should refrain from eating that. And then it's stated that they should not eat meat also. Sometimes the Kshatriyas, they're allowed to, see. But the Brahmanas on no occasion, it's stated that meat cannot be had without killing a sentient being or harming some being. And so one should refrain from eating meat, you see, and especially for the Brahmanas, at no cost. And it's stated that let him never for the sake of subsistence follow the ways of the world. Let him live as a pure, honest, and straightforward life. So these are some of the duties of the Brahmanas and what they have to do. I can remember in 1986, I was in New York Temple, and I was eating some grapes, and I think a little part of it fell on the floor. And Ramapada Swami looked at me and said, "I see you wearing the garb of a Brahmana, but you're leaving your remnants on the floor." And I was really, I felt a little embarrassed. But of course, at that time, I was more in the mood of a Kshatriya. But I was, you know, I really felt embarrassed, you know. He said, "I see you're wearing the garb of a Brahmana, but you're leaving your remnant on the floor." You see? Now this, coming back to the Brahminical qualities. And then, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's stated, Samudamas tapasaucham shantir arjavam evacha gyanam vijnanam astikyam brahmakarma sabhavacham. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. So these are great qualities. And even though that the devotees or the Vaishnavas are even higher than the Brahmanas, but these are great qualities as a springboard, right, as a springboard to become Vaishnavas. See? So that is why Srila Prabhupada emphasized, because the importance of the Varnashram system is that it assists the Vaishnava community in so many ways. You see? Because first of all, they would understand so many things. I mean, Vaishnavas are actually higher than regular Brahmanas also. You see? I mean, our position are quite higher, but the position of the personalities within the Varnashram system, they assist the Vaishnava community in so many ways. You see, in so many ways. Our community is able to flow smoothly along if the Varnashram system is established. You see? Because Varnashram system means that people are situated in their various Varnas and Ashram. And in other words, they become cultured. It's cultured. You know, unlike the society now, you know, I mean, you have sometimes the lowest, you have a lord and a sudra take up leadership. So what he does, he implement all kind of nonsensical rules and so forth within the country. He established this and that. That's totally against religious principles. You see? So that's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much the importance of this Varnashram system, and especially Brahminical culture. You see? And these qualities of cleanliness, peacefulness, self-control, austerity, tolerance. See, these are great qualities. See? And even as devotees, sometimes we have to work hard to develop these qualities. See? So there was a very interesting point where the cowherd boys were addressing the Brahmanas as Bhumi Devata, earthly gods. Within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Krishna explains, it's explained there that the first chapter is elaborately explained the importance of the spiritual master. The Brahmanas are considered spiritual master of society. See? And so, because they're spiritual master, it's stated that the Lord manifests himself as Paramatma within to guide the living entities, and outside as the guru or the spiritual master to guide the living entities. So in these two ways, through Paramatma, one is directed to the guru, and through the guru, one is directed to the Lord. You see? So calling the Brahmanas Bhumi Devata, because they're supposed to act the role of the spiritual master, the spiritual master. See? And so so that is why they're called Bhumi Devata. And within the first chapter of the Adi Leela, it's so interesting, especially for people who are confused about the role of the spiritual master and have it all mixed up, you know, especially like, you know, imbibing the red fig concept and so forth. You read that chapter, you get a clear view of how the Lord worked through the spiritual master and who is a guru and so forth. So many things. So the Brahmanas, as we said earlier, that without Brahminical culture, the society is said to be a headless society. And society is said to be in a state of disequilibrium. And when Brahminical culture is there, then society is said to be in a equilibrium state or a state of balance. See? A state of balance and perfect harmony. See? So this Sankirtan movement would go on for another 10,000 years. And that's how all these things that Srila Prabhupada spoke about, we have to gradually work on them. Even especially the idea of the Varnashram system. See? And So we can see that the Brahminical culture is very, very essential in society. But at the same time, I'm not supporting these Brahmanas, because these Brahmanas, they're supposed to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and obey His command. You see, at the end they would say, they said as Brahmanas, they said, Yadvayam Gauravo Nrinam. As Brahmanas, we are supposed to be spiritual masters of all classes of men. And then he said that, but our wives did not undergo the purificatory rites of the twice born, lived as brahmacharis, executed austerities, but yet they obeyed the Lord. But they were trying to justify. They say, Ahanman re firam bayo. He said, the Lord has deceptively appeared as an ordinary human being, and so we are fooled. He said here, He api mudana vidmahi. We are so foolish that we could not recognize them. See? So, of course, the Brahmanas would show remorse. But most importantly, Lord Krishna wants to pray to please the ladies. And in Bhagavad Gita, he substantiated, he says, Imam fish. Oh, sorry. Mam hi parta vyapashrita yepi su papa yonaya. He say, O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they may be of low birth, women, Vaishyas, Sutras, can attain the supreme destination. So this exactly here shows how the ladies or anyone, and in this Kali Yuga, we can see even the lowest being, even a Chandala, not only can become a devotee, but he can even become spiritual master. See? The lowest of men can become spiritual master. See? So we learn a lot from this chapter. And we can take it and imbibe it nicely. If there is no question or comment, I can probably quickly talk about Marisha for maybe 2 minutes or so. Yes, Madan Mohan.
I was just thinking of this one point. The way that it's presented, it's very easy for us to like minimize these Brahminical personalities, because the context here is that they're not, and that they're going to heaven. So these ritualistic ceremonies they're performing from the Vedas, this was the way the culture was arranged. These were the most highly respected people, and they were doing everything exactly right, pronouncing the mantras right, having the fire sacrifice right. And the idea of going to heaven, that's not an easy thought to have the mind purified from. You know, that a lot of times, even in devotional service, there's still some connection with the material, what you're doing in life, and you always want it to be auspicious, you want it to come out right, you want it so everything is prosperous. So that element is also there. So the Vedas were dealing with that, and it was a gradual process. But because Srila Prabhupada came in and put it all into context, we're exposed to it from this angle of vision. And sometimes the full amount of respect to be offered to those personalities is minimized. But we find that they are actually the highly respectable. And even the way Krishna speaks with them and deals with everyone, it's always with full offer all respects to everyone.
Of course, definitely. I mean, they are the spiritual master of all the other classes, and they are, and you better be respectable too, because if the course you're finished. I mean, like in the ancient times, we know, like if you incur the course of a Brahmana, you're finished. Whatever the course, it goes through.
Well, Lord Chaitanya, he got a Brahmin cursed him once, And he said, a Brahmin cursed Lord Chaitanya, saying, you'll never be happy in household or life. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? He says, Haribol. He said that. And if one remembers that, then no curse of a Brahmin will affect him. So there's also Lord Chaitanya's mercy on that point.
Yeah, Haribol, very good.
You need practice.
Any other points? Yeah. Mataji? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. It seems like the Brahmins, they thought that they were serving God in the right way, but when God sent his representatives, he didn't recognize them, or they didn't recognize them, and they didn't acknowledge them properly. And I wondered how to apply that in my own life, as far as knowing when I am, you know, like I might be thinking that I'm doing the right thing, but I'm not. It looks like the right thing, but maybe Krishna wants me to do something different, so how to recognize that?
Yes, very interesting point. Very interesting point, because sometimes we may be acting in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord, but we think it is really. Well, of course, the role of the spiritual master is very important. And the authorities that we're following, like temple president, temple commander, even other devotees, senior devotees, they can guide us. And scriptures. So, but it's three things: guru, sadhu, and scriptures. These are the three medium that we use to get guidance. And so we have to always rely on these to see how we're going, how we're moving. See, because sometimes we might be going on the opposite direction, or we might be doing things that we're not supposed to do. But if we consult these three authorities, then definitely we can be in line, or we can brought back to line. Yeah, I had wanted to briefly talk about Marisha, but maybe it's too late really. We'll talk about it another time. You know, one other point too. Srila Prabhupada, when Sringa Rishi had coerced Maharaj Parikshit, he said that this is where that Kali used Sringa Rishi, right, to suppress the other caste, the other class. And Parikshit was he was like the what should I say? He was he was the target of Brahminical injustice, so to speak, Maharaj Parikshit. Because he was an emperor and a king, really. And the course did not befit the crime, you know, I mean, the thing, you know. To be killed in 7 days, really, for putting a dead snake on his father's, you know. So anyway, that's another topic, another thing. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.